Welcome to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is the last day in April 2022, and I am your host, Ingrid Castle. I am the director of Vaccination Liberation, a national grassroots association that's dedicated to providing information on vaccinations and injections from the pharmaceutical industry, you know, whether it's a vaccine or even a TB time test or this latest, you know, jab. I don't even call it a vaccine. We provide this information that's not often available to the public, but it's clearly being outright censored today, so that you can make the only informed choice, which is complete avoidance and refusal. Our websites are vaccinetruth.com, which, you know, is a redirect. It's a basic website to redirect people to our exemption pages, which is vaccinetruth.net and vaclib.org. That's our main website, vaclib, short for Vaccination Liberation, and that .org for organization. And my business website is humbleweed.net. And that's where I sell specific high-quality products to help people recover their health in this day and age of vaccines, chemicals, and microwave radiation. That's why I call the show Immunize Wisely, which literally means to protect and strengthen our immune function wisely while we navigate a toxic world. We do have a chat room for the show. My hands off to Mer Bailey for creating and hosting our chat room and adding important content there. I like to be able to drop links, and it's great because if you're listening to the archives and you want to grab some of those links, we're not going to waste a lot of airtime. I'll just say I'll put it in the chat room. And so you can go back, you know, a week or two later and scroll up and find it, you know, based on the date. And that is Immunize Wisely, and wisely stylized with a Z. And then you do a period. And then you go chat and go, that's chatango, or chatango, however you want to do it. And then another period .com. So, you know, I encourage people to participate in the chat. I'm going to do two guests this time, each hour. So, we felt it was important to, deal with some of the snake venom stuff that Stu Peters and Dr. Artis brought up a few weeks ago, and that really went viral. I mean, with 3 million views, and that was as of, I guess, April 19th. So there's been a lot of pushback, a lot of excellent commentary. I was glad that they posted Chris Martinson's, "Is COVID Actually Snake Venom?" I mean, it was pretty far-fetched that they would put it in the water supply. You know, to me, it would, you know, have to be like some kind of cloning, or, you know, using a continuous cell line to create. And it was hard for me to wrap my mind around. But, you know, I had to admit that the whole concept was interesting to me, because when I was talking about vaccines to people, I always use this analogy that you know, a vaccine, you know, with its foreign proteins and other noxious substances, is much like a snake bite that's not properly treated, you know, because a vaccine has foreign proteins and other substances that are akin to poison. And you don't properly treat it, right? You don't suck out the venom from the vaccine. I know people that have tried to, but, you know, with a snake bite, that's the way you treat it. You try to immediately try to get the venom out of going directly into your lymphatic system and hence into your bloodstream. So so we're going to discuss that. I do have a guest on. Okay. This is the scene. We want to flesh it out more. It's no longer part of the news feed, but it is down below. It was posted April 26th, I believe. And it was Chris Martinson's "Is COVID Actually Snake Venom?" episode 57, part one. I'm going to put that link. But we're going to be discussing this whole thing with scientists Stephen O'Neill and Dave in New York, because they're really on to this. We still have some discussion about the virus stuff. I'm probably going to save it for next time, because I actually have a great article that I'm going to send to Dave in New York, and it is from the Wise Traditions, and it's quite detailed and footnoted, and it's right up my alley, and it is about the whole the great virus debate and the COVID-19 stuff. So I'm in the middle of reading it. I just got my Wise Traditions for, is it spring? Yeah, spring 2022. It just arrived in the mail. And they don't post it online until after it's been out for at least 6 weeks. So I just want everyone to know. I'll probably be mentioning that next week and going into some of that detail myself. But anyway, in the meantime, this is important, and welcome to the show, Stephen.
Oh, nice to be with you.
Yeah, can you give everyone a little bit of background? It's Stephen O'Neill. I want everyone to know just my name, and I know you've been on John Moore's program. Can you just give us a little bit of your background of why Dave in New York wanted to have you on with him?
Well, originally, Dave heard me speaking on the roundtable back in 2020 on John's show, and he realized I knew an interesting variety of eclectic things that were relevant to the things we've been talking about, and he asked John to get a hold of me, and so we did. Now, my background is both in nuclear power and also in the weapons end, too, and the irony is, though, my soul is in a very different place. I have a background in those areas, and of course, the general science. And I've complained a number of times that the alternative media has not really provided itself the equivalent to the peer review system that the institutions, universities have to give themselves legitimacy, and that there's a need to put together in a more rigorous format our analysis of what's going on in the world, because things are getting so complicated, Ingrid.
It's Ingrid, by the way, but it's okay, Stephen. I just want you to be clear. It's Ingrid. It rhymes with angry, but the mnemonic is, if you're not an angry American, you're not paying attention. So it does rhyme with angry. That's how you remember it. Okay? So,
very good. But,
okay. So is Dave on the line yet?
I think he is. Yes, he is. And Ingrid, it's very interesting. You're sending me an article, and I haven't read the article. I have no opinion on the article, and I will give no opinion until I read it, think about it, and read it again. And this
I
is
understand.
What we need
to I haven't. Been, I just got it, and I just made a copy, so I'm going to send it.
But Ingrid, my point is this. This is the approach we need to use when we are presented with new information that is out of our paradigm, that we can't digest easily. And that is what happened a few weeks ago when I'll call him Dr. Ard, and we don't really even want to, you know, like Dr. Fleming didn't want to mention his name. He thought that he was a very well-intentioned person, but maybe he didn't have the background needed to analyze this situation and came to some wrong conclusions somehow. But he also thinks, and he apparently knows some individuals who encouraged him to come out with a breaking story and may have fed him information. And this is how, as Steve O'Neill may describe, how different agencies or powers are trying to interject confusion into the populace here, and with all of these deep state, we might say, things.
I just want to say that I've heard several of Dr. Artis' stuff way before this, and I found him to be a well-meaning, well-intentioned person, and I actually like his demeanor, and I do think he got in over his head, and I totally agree with Chris Martinson when he said, you know, this was such a breaking story, it would behoove him not to run it by several people that are already deep in the COVID research, instead just to bring it to someone like Stu Peters, who has this huge forum, and Stu Peters was skeptical enough, but also did not have a background. So he needed to have enough vetting by, you know, some scientists out there. And that's, and that we all agree with that.
Yeah, I find Mr. Peters puts out, is willing to print anything that is maybe sensational and breaking over having checked it out fully. And this is very problematic and gives people all kinds of ideas. They go in different directions. Now, I will say that Chris Martinson, in the comments down below, there was a comment by MKOS2021 who said, if I were a doctor, I would have called Dr. Artis privately to discuss his theory with him and my concerns rather than come out publicly and pick on his presentation slash words and the flaws. Well, do we have a bleeding liberal here or whatever? Okay, that's what I'm saying. I said,
well,
that, but, you know,
is,
do we
know,
have a bleeding,
I mean,
heart
is,
person here?
This is after over 3 million views, and so
I felt like
Martinson's response was good.
Ingrid, Martinson, yeah, Martinson's response, I think I accidentally sent this to you already.
You already did. I printed it out. I thought you did an excellent job, by the way. I hope you sent it to Steve.
I didn't even finish. It accidentally sent to you. Martinson said, I propose that by the time you make a full documentary with millions of views, with your very public assertions, you've foregone your expectation of a private communication to begin to set the record straight. So Martinson needed to approach this very publicly. And he said, the time to get your facts in order is before you go public with them. There's a process for that, which I use all the time. I communicate with doctors and scientists in private. We call each other. Okay, so the process that I think needs to happen is information goes into someone's head. They need to consider it, think about it, maybe even connect to their source, their God, about it. And
right.
I think of this quote that is kind of a variation of a very brilliant man's quote who I have followed before. It says, it is not what goes into the head that defiles the head. It is what comes out of the head. Think. We need to think. IBM said think, you know. And IBM is making the, you know, they're making tattoo IDs and things like that. But, you know, regardless. Okay, so 3 million views since it was published April 11th. Now, and Martinson further says, there are some things about this documentary which could be very damaging to those who pick it up and run with it. In other words, if you watch the documentary, you believe the storyline that is being suggested, and this is all merely based on suggestion, let me tell you. I have found nothing of substance there myself. And, okay, so if you do that, then you can damage yourself socially, and you can damage your credibility with others. And there's a lot of people who have damaged their credibility. They went out and said, everybody who got this shot is going to be dead in 6 to 9 months. Didn't happen. So that's
well, we know that there are several, there are definitely blanks. I mean, you know, I mean, if all of these shots were loaded, all the people that got it would be dying. And I know several people that got the shot, they had zero. It was like they absolutely had a saline solution. So there's something to that.
Fact,
a lot of people say that. There's no way they can produce, keep up with the demand with all those individual vials. You know,
well,
it was worldwide.
That's an interesting idea. The problem is we don't have assays on these vials. We don't have content assays. When someone says they got the shot, I said, okay, what was in it? What did the package insert say? Did it say intentionally left blank? Well, what was the assay on your shot? What was in it? And there's great questions about what's in these things. So, but
yeah, well, they were all tagged to that person. The person wrote it down. So Pfizer, any of the companies that gave that shot, they literally had a bead on that person. I mean, that's really clear. Right now, Pfizer actually hired more people just to deal with the adverse events. They know when people died. I mean, it's really that much hooked up to the cloud. I'm serious. They have a bead on everyone that got the shot.
Well, you know, there were four lots There were four lots, I believe, that were specifically identified as having high death rates initially, and they took them off the market. They knew what they were, and those that this shows you that there's a wide variation in what's going out.
Yep. Yep.
California, I believe,
yes,
took them out.
How bad is your batch?
Right. Yeah, you just go to how bad is your batch, and you can find out a lot of details. So, but yeah, I mean, they were individual. It wasn't like a big glass jar that had, you know, where you could just take several, vials out of there and inject them. They were all individualized.
Yeah, I'm in no way suggesting that the batches aren't different. There's evidence suggesting that they are significantly different. What I'm saying is
yep.
we don't know what was in them. We don't have assays.
That's true. Oh, okay. It was all under the big banner of experimental, and then they had, you know, leaks of things that were in the shot, you know, and so, yeah, it's very interesting, you know, the whole snake venom stuff, because, you know, there are several poisons out there that will give you the same symptoms as COVID. And I remember the whole graphene oxide discussion, because people were like saying, let's just like the lead and pencil, that's ridiculous. Well, there's all kinds of, medical journal articles, you know, stuff in PubMed. There was a Guardian article from years back. And I started saying, this is interesting. So, this is back in early 2020. I did a search on the material safety data sheet for graphene oxide, and I can't find that same information as I found back then. You know, it's like they removed it from the internet. But at the time, it said if you have excessive, it was similar. You know, like you'd have the shortness of breath. You know, the whole. That whole oxygen deprivation, you know, thing
yeah.
at the lung.
Yeah, well,
I
will say
that was all part of it.
Martinson does state that the symptoms of snake bites are very different than the symptoms, and the symptoms of venom are very different than
right.
than the symptoms that would present from a COVID disease. So that's interesting. That's not conclusive.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is not conclusive. So, Steve
wanted to say something. I should let him speak.
Yeah, please. Thanks.
Yeah, first of all, COVID has nothing to do with snake venom. My first interpretation was snake oil. I think it's a red herring. The thing is that we knew in early 2020, I mean, I was very fortunate to look into Dr. Martinson. In very early 2020, I probably had recorded every one of his broadcasts for the first 3 months after about February.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid very close attention and got a very good idea of what was going on. That's when we knew about hydroxychloroquine, which is, of course, synthetic quinine. And what was interesting, see, we did not know the degree to which this was a social engineering operation as much as we know now. Back then, this was a very unordinary flu going around of some sort, you know, and then the Eastern Virginia Medical mm-hmm. Society had the genome characterized, and a number of others did. They characterized the stages of the disease, the first 11 to 14 days of the viremia, which, by the way, the quinine can treat. And then after that is the immune dysregulation, which it
okay.
can't treat.
Unfortunately, we have to break. You get the next 6 minutes. Okay? Thanks.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better, have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Welcome back. Okay, I have, I'm sorry, I'm wanting to call you Chris Martinson, but you're Stephen O'Neill, and you were just going on a roll when you were cut off. So maybe you can recap a little bit and, you know, go on your roll for 6 minutes. That'd be great.
I was trying to do some kind of a micro history of my experience early in the COVID issue, and that I had the good fortune of having a really full understanding of what Dr. Martinson was putting out on a daily basis. And what I was angling toward was this, that it was not, wasn't any later than March, but it became very clear that the JAMA or New England or the Lancet or international journals were putting absolute crap out for articles. They were actually doing studies that were ridiculous. And, I mean, they were not becoming of the kind of thing that these respected journals would put out, and they were slamming hydroxy. I'll give you an example. I mentioned that the EVMS ideology for COVID was that you have two stages, the viremia stage, where it multiplies and builds up, and the post-viremia immune dysregulation phase, which is really the what I would call a subclinical AIDS. Not exactly true, but it's not a bad way to put it. And the thing is, the viremia stage no longer applies, and hydroxychloroquine is no longer of any value. It's a zinc channel enabler, and once that's out of its phase, you have to use ivermectin, or both to begin with as a preventive. That's a whole other discussion. The thing is that I'll give you an example. The LD50, lethal dose 50 level for quinine hydroxy is about 3,000 milligrams. Normal doses are around 300 or 400, 450. you know, for a few days, a number of days in a row, and that's it. Thing is that I remember one study that Martinson brought up. He indicated, look, here's a respected journal showing us that they did his heroic efforts on people that were late-stage COVID, on respirators in many cases, very, very sick, and they gave them, in one case, the patient had 2,400 milligrams in the first day. No wonder they had side effects.
Oh, my gosh. So they were doing this on purpose. They were giving them they were doing it.
Listen, the recent Pfizer study, blackballing ivermectin, was another BS story. They're putting them out to this is scientific disinformation put out by respected institutions. It's real dangerous stuff. America needs to wake up to this problem. But they were doing it early on with hydroxy. And listen, they did not mention one iota about using zinc or zithromycin or quercetin or any of these other things that are recommended certainly by the FLCCC under Dr. Corey. The thing is that these were absolute trash for studies. And I mean, a seventh grader could do a better job. And the thing is that this was obviously on purpose. These scientists aren't that stupid. Mm-hmm. And so they were trying to prevent the public. It's prima facie evidence that there was a deliberate conspiratorial effort to mislead the public into thinking these things are useless or worse, dangerous. Not only that, but give you an example. All this riffraff about, oh, hydroxychloroquine can cause heart problems. Martinson did the work. In hundreds of millions of doses of quinine and HCQ, there was not one cardiac death, not one.
Right.
Now, why would they bring this up? My God, they bring up all these other side effects when they sell you these drugs on TV. This is, you know, you want to get it. That's a long subject, and I can cut it off here. But
understand that all the journals have been bought out by the drug companies for a while. I mean, there's that classic book by Marcia Angel. You know, she was the editor for the New England Journal of Medicine, The Truth About the Drug Companies. I mean, they have total control of the medical schools and the journals. And that's tragic in itself, you know.
You know, Andrew, this is, you know, bought out or not, this is murder and treason.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And to be handled as such.
This has been building up for a long time. I mean, we've had lots of exposés of the FDA and NIH. I mean, there's been books written. There's been people that work for the FDA, whistleblowers, you know.
Well, you know, Michael Yeadon, Dr. Michael Yeadon, was vice president of research and development for Pfizer. He came out in, it was still 2020, when he came out, and he was a little bit soft about the vaccine. Well, there may be an appropriate use here or there, but in the main, he was warning about it. And then Dr. Elizabeth Eads and her group, you know, it's ridiculous what's going on.
Well, none of those people that work for these companies, Moderna, Pfizer, they were all being paid off, and none of them were to ever take the shot. The CDC employees, they haven't taken the shot.
I think a lot of people are lying and saying they're taking it and aren't, especially government officials.
Right. Exactly.
We don't know. But here again, they can't be that stupid. Maybe I better not ask that question too far.
Right.
But we have... There's a massive thing going on, and the bigger picture is something we need to look at. If we have snake venom in the water, then we need to get the
show. I have to have you on. I'm into the bigger picture myself, so we'll have to have another conversation to have you on the other topic.
Yeah. We
have
a break commercial.
Now, so hold on.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Steve, do you want to go ahead and finish out your thoughts, then we'll have Dave talk? You want to do that?
Oh, yeah, well, I guess how we finish off that last segment. But I think the important thing now, as we've been mentioning, is that we need to stand back and see the forest for the trees and realize that there's a lot of information out there and a lot of half-baked information out there, and that we really need to obey a more strict logical protocol in approaching these things. There are PSYOP operations that essentially they'll throw anything out there. They'll float any idea. And unfortunately, when you have an undiscerning public, everything has equal standing. And so the truth is in there washed away with everything else, like the Ford Pinto files, you know. You send them the file in a warehouse full of boxes. Good luck. You know, the legal team's never going to find it. And that's kind of where we are on a lot of things. And I think the American educational system's starting to show up in this equation, too. But anyway...
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the private schools aren't much better, frankly. The only kids that are getting a decent education these days are homeschooled, and as parents that don't follow a strict curriculum, because a lot of the homeschooling curriculums are, you know, just mirrors of, a private school, which mirror a lot of the public school stuff. I'm just saying, you know, in terms of history and science and stuff, you've got to have some smart parents.
I mean, the whole Tavistock doctrine's been soaked down through our entire culture, And and it's brainwashing. And I mean, that's another subject all its own, you know, beyond all of this. There is a global agenda. We need to get very serious about understanding it. And it has a lot to do with Ukraine and what they're doing with Russia and China right now.
I agree. This is all connected. We're going to stick to this topic. I love everything you're saying, Steve. So I would, you know, I want to call you at some point and have you on for a show, because all those things are dear to my heart in a big way, as you many people know. So, but we, you know, Dave spent a lot of time analyzing is COVID actually snake venom, Chris Martins and stuff, and he made, you know, a lot of salient summary, you know, points, all the points that he made. And so he's going to summarize it. And I did put the links in the chat room so that people can review it and understand it.
Well, let me tell you what I did.
Yeah.
What I did was, first thing I did was I watched the water. You know, I listened to it. I listened to the video. And, you know, I had spoken to Artis when he was on Chris Steiner's show on the Saturday before, asking him a couple questions, and he said he was doing a big reveal, and I was anticipating a big reveal, so I watched it. By the end of it, I said, that's somewhat convincing, but let me think about what is being said here. And I said, well, wait a second. He didn't mention any assays in any water supply of any snake venom. He didn't do that. And he threw a lot of titles up. You see titles flashing by your eyes, and he says there's 4,000 papers. It sounds like a Google search where you're making suppositions and relating different things. So let's go into detail and listen exactly to what he said. And I began to do that. And I got interrupted when I was doing that, but the first thing I saw in his first sentences was a paranoid claim stating that he was at the top of Big Pharma's and Pfizer's hit list. In other words, they wanted to kill him. Is that what he was saying? Well, you know, I found that was very, maybe that was very fantastic, because how would he have access to this? How would Zev Zelenko have access to this list? Somebody tipped him off. Well, like Steve said, you know, you don't know where this is coming from and if this is true or not. So, then I quickly found Chris Martinson's article in my Peak Prosperity Weekly newsletter, and I decided to listen to it. And one of the first points that Chris mentions that the doctor is saying, the chiropractor, is, I realize that monoclonal antibodies are anti-venom. Well, that statement cannot be true. Anti-venom, or some anti-venom, may be monoclonal antibodies, they may be antibodies, and they may be monoclonal antibodies. In other words, antibodies of an identical chemical structure. That's the linkage. That is the three-dimensional structure. That is the chemical formula. Okay, so they're identical. So, okay. So he is making a statement which appears on its face false to anyone who knows a little bit about science. So I will say monoclonal antibodies are monoclonal antibodies. Only a few monoclonal antibodies could be anti-venom of all the ones that do exist, because there's antibodies to any antigen, any shape on any protein. There's all kinds of proteins that are not venom. Your body has tons of proteins.
I understand. Okay? So, just for the audience here, explain. When you get a snake bite and it's not treated properly, you still have some venom in there and you're going to get it treated, they give you a specific monoclonal antibody. And what does that contain, that specific monoclonal antibody that's for snake venom, treatment of snake bite?
Well, they must have identified specific proteins which are dangerous in snake venom. And the antibody is a lock and key mechanism that latches on to the venom protein that could do damage. But now, when it's coated with these antibodies, it is instead it is unable to function, number one, because its exterior is not exposed to body parts or organelles or little, you know, any molecules in the body. And secondly, there are scavenger cells in the body that are going to take these antibody-laden things and dispose of them, clean up the body. So it's a very complicated system.
Yeah, well, let's just say you don't even know if it's a rattlesnake or, you know, some other kind of snake, you know, a cottonmouth, you know, or, you know, like...
I don't understand particulars of this to explain it perfectly, or with a great deal of background, but...
I was wondering if there's different... I mean, if you go to a doctor's office, they give you monoclonal antibodies for a snake bite. I want to know if it's specific to a snake, you know, a certain kind of snake, because their venoms are all a little bit different.
Right? Yeah, that's an in-depth question for a snakeologist. Okay.
Well, even a doctor would have that in their office. They would know the answer, you know, because, or they should. They don't usually read the package insert.
Their answer is a pen and writing a prescription, but they may understand. Yes, they may have further understanding. The chiropractor also said, since the NIH, CDC, FDA have been bad-mouthing monoclonals all the time, monoclonals must be the solution. Well, as a matter of fact, Martinson points out that they haven't been bad-mouthing them all along. They were using them. You know, they used them on my brother, and it helped him, apparently. And they continue to use one of them for maybe the Alpha or the Delta or early versions of this, but not for Omicron. And they really don't need it for Omicron. As Martinson points out, it's not really deadly. So they have not been bad-mouthing monoclonals all along. That was apparently a false statement. They were a frontline treatment. So, and then he says that, well, these were fact-checked. And because they're fact-checked, it means that what they're saying is false is actually true. Well, no, not everything that the fact-checkers say is false. That's not true. Otherwise, no one would listen to fact-checkers, I would expect. You know, but some things they say are false, and they want to mislead people. Okay, I would agree with that. Here's another point. He said that the SARS-CoV-2 cannot be from bats because they hibernate in the winter. Well, it's also not from snakes, because snakes hibernate in the winter. That's what Martinson pointed out. It's rather interesting. And there's you know, a complicated illogic going on here that is hard to dissect. Let me put it that way.
Question.
Comments. You have some comments. Go ahead.
Hydroxychloroquine in the early phase and the ivermectin protocols in all phases are extremely effective in preventing and treating COVID. They aren't used for snake bites. If they're extremely effective, if the thing is a snake venom, it ought to work for both, hadn't it? You know, in other words, ivermectin is a very, very powerful anti-inflammatory and antiviral, and that's why it works on this. And it happens, you know, it apparently kills coronaviruses. They've known this a long time.
Well, ivermectin is known for parasites. I mean, parasites are very common. And so,
that's the prime treatment. But the thing is that it's almost irrelevant at this point. It's been known that it's an anti-inflammatory, and it also has an anti-cancer dimension. The thing is if there's a correlation with snake venom, then they ought to be effective against it too, and they're not used for it.
Right.
And so, interesting questions here. There's something not adding up.
That's why we're having this discussion. That's the whole point. That there's that at further inspection. I mean, it was a slick presentation for sure. I mean, I'm gonna give them that. You know, I thought, wow, this is a great slick presentation, and I had to chuckle just because, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, the analogy I used to compare vaccines to, you know, similar. You know,
Ingrid, let me ask you one little question here. When did you realize he was totally far off? Maybe it was at the point where he said, guess what color snake venom is when it is stored? A whitish yellow powder. And so is remdesivir. So remdesivir must be snake venom? Is that the conclusion? I mean, well, it also dissolves in saline solution.
He was doing this incredible connect the dots without sufficient evidence. And that's what I was
Well,
like,
wait
wow,
a second. How many organic compounds, when you lyophilize them, are white, yellowish-white powders?
About all of them?
Thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. I mean, come on.
Don't believe me, I get it.
Yes, but well, I was just wanting Steve to back me up on that in case I was wrong.
No, I noticed it too, yes.
What he was talking about was, you know, the side effects of remdesivir. You know, that
horrible.
So he was talking about these side effects of remdesivir that were, you know, similar. I mean, you know what, 90% of the people died in the Ebola trials? They were trying to use it as an Ebola drug, you know, and so it was deadly in the trial. And then he...
Yeah. I saw a long list. I think Martin might have put it out. I'm not sure. It's been a while. Of a number of treatments. No, it was, excuse me, it was FLCCC that put it out. Of a number of treatments, probably 20 of compounds that have been used experimentally to deal with COVID with a wide spectrum of efficacy. Remdesivir is moderately not very good at treating it and has a high cross section for fatal reactions. No, and by the way, it's expensive as hell. Mm-hmm. And so there's several others that are very expensive. And then there are others that aren't as expensive but not very effective. The two that are extremely valuable are, of course, HCQ and ivermectin. There are several others, but they're less common or they're usually more expensive. But remdesivir is dreadful. There's no reason to use it. And
well,
that's what the hospitals
do. It's the most expensive treatment, and we have hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin that are cheap and have a good track record. So...
cheap, no side obviously effects for all intents and purposes, right, and work well with other things.
Correct.
All right, I've got one more point here that is important to his talk, and that is regarding the structure of the proteins. Is there similarity to snake proteins? And they dealt with two S1 spike proteins from SARS-CoV-2, and he was comparing them to venomous toxic proteins in terms of their sequences and in terms of the charges on the proteins. And you can look at his talk there. He said they're virtually nothing like it. Half of the amino acids are not homologous. They're not the same. And then the charges in certain places are totally different. So these are most unlike snake proteins. So then, mm-hmm, then was also stated that there is a snake protein sequence, which is included in the spike. And Martinson shows in color a diagram showing that particular sequence, when it's translated to the protein of the spike, is inside of the head of the spike. It is not exposed on the surface. Therefore, it cannot have any effect in binding. It can't really do anything other than be like an internal backbone structure. And so it doesn't have an external structure that's exposed. There is no function that it can have in terms of causing inflammation or disease to other things that are nearby it. This is very key. And also, when you look at some articles that Jeff Rentz put up, and last Monday he and Erica Kahn did a nice talk, and they have all these papers, and one of the papers is a 2017 paper showing phospholipase A2, quote, snake venom is native to the human body and naturally elevated during infection. There's other articles showing that it comes from bacteria. Well, if you're trying to say that this phospholipase A2 is only due to snake venom, these papers show you that it is ubiquitous to biological systems. It's widely distributed. It's not merely in snake venom. Wake up. Wake up. Look on the right side of Rentz's page. Under Dr. Pierre Corey, earliest advocate of ivermectin, shreds the artist Peter's ruby, watch the water venom heist, hysteria. It's under that. There's about five articles which are very important, okay? So you folks can look those up. And if Murr has problems, I'll find them.
You suppose that artist was baited with this info?
Yes. That is exactly what Fleming said. And Fleming apparently knows who these people are, and he didn't name them. You didn't want to.
I mean, this happens all over the alternative media, you know, and this is a serious problem. And that's all the more reason to be very strict about our handling of scientific information. We need to have a robust way of handling this out in the open. It's great to float an idea.
The problem I see is that things are moving so fast, and everyone considers it an emergency, and to be on the cutting edge because there's such a competition in alternative media. I mean, there's a lot of different websites. And Mike Adams, I mean, as much as he churns out all the time, I mean, he's going to be subject to this stuff a lot, you know, just because he's...
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to beat any of these people. I'm trying to beat them down and stop them and stop before you speak.
The issue is crime, Wolf.
I'm just saying, I don't see
well.
The position. Sorry.
But anyway, we need to choose our shots a little more carefully, I think. That's really a terrible pun. We need to make our statements after analyzing a little more carefully. Here again, when you float an idea, say you're floating it. But here, for gosh sake, you know, if we have snake venom in the water, where's the chromatograph data? We ought to have that out right away. You know,
what do you mean chromatography data? What's chromatography, Steve? Can you explain that? How do you separate ink on a piece of paper?
It's just,
did anybody ever do that? Yeah.
You know, there ought to be data there. It's just, you know, put it on the table. That's what we need. We don't need the hearsay. We need data.
Because snake venom itself is a complex mixture. What Steve is saying, you could separate it by chromatography and get all the components and analyze them on the back end with a UV spectrometer, with HPLC, with mass spec, or with whatever. Yeah.
I mean, these complex chemicals have fingerprints like atom bomb fallout. You can figure out exactly what they are. All you have to do is run it. You know, what's the matter with people? Yep. You know, everybody's talking and they don't have the data. That's what we need.
Well, they're not all chemists, and you're not even a regular chemist, Steve, and you know this.
No, I'm not a
chemist.
I wouldn't be caught dead.
But you know.
No. The thing is that there's so much out there, it's confusing the picture, and we really need focus. We've got major problems to solve very quickly. And first of all, you know, the COVID thing was pretty well characterized by early-mid 2020, and we had the solution by July. I knew about ivermectin in July of 2020. I bought some then. I did not know whether I should take it as preventive yet, but in December 5th, the Senate testimony by Dr. Pierre Corey came out, and it was very definitive, and then it removed any doubt, and I started using it at that time. Dave, that's when I told you, you know, all about that, that's when I knew we had the answer not only to COVID, but also the paradigm, the social engineering paradigm this whole COVID thing's about. And, you know, here it's 2022 and getting well into it. What's the matter with us? You know, we're not getting this done. I think we could make a lot more progress. We need great clarity. You need scientific leadership. Not simply just a bunch of numbers or people throwing, you know, floating ideas. We need to float them, but with data. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I would further say that people comment about Fleming, that there were indictments against Fleming. There's indictments against everyone in the world. Who is without sin, throw the first stone. First of all, we don't know if he's guilty of doing anything that is evil. We don't know if he's guilty of doing what they said he did. We know he came out with a cheaper procedure. So let us use our brains and listen to what Fleming says and listen to his science and listen to other people like Martinson, who's proven to be very accurate on these things, although he doesn't have 450 publications like Fleming or McCullough. And I don't know about Pierre Corey. He's got a bunch. He's got at least 200, right, Steve?
But he's an active doctor in the field. He's seeing patients. He's right on the
front
line.
So, as you can see, I'm not at all ignoring these indictments. Look what Fleming wrote about it on his website. I don't know the truth of it. So I'm not going to speak like I know the truth of it. But the point is, mm-hmm. what Fleming is saying is good all around science to me in almost every case. The only thing that that Steve and others have objected to is when Fleming said, listen, we don't have perfect science showing that ivermectin works by the highest standard of measures. And I don't know the truth of that or not, but that's what he said. And he's very strict. Steve, you seem to know that it works. And everybody seems to know that it works. That's okay.
Can I just mention something? You know, they haven't, it's all really new, and it takes a while to get all the data in. But India is a huge country. I'm sure they're doing the data on it because they've used ivermectin very successfully. And I know many people have. But this is all moving so fast that usually, you know, takes, you know, over 2 years for a solid study to even come out. I'm talking about a solid study. So,
But I don't think you can absolutely prove that it works.
Yeah.
Unless you can show the mechanism and make specific measurements. And I think that's something that Dr. Fleming was doing with his Fleming method. He was claiming to do. I'm not saying he did
it. In July of 2020, the primary information about ivermectin success was from India. And then they've had several subsequent runs. It's unambiguous. The stuff works. They switched from using hydroxychloroquine to ivermectin in the summer of 2020 because it worked better. They didn't necessarily know why at first, but you know, we know why, because most presentations of the disease would be well into the course, that the efficacy of the quinines would not be as good because you're getting the post-viremia phase, and so ivermectin is naturally going to work better because it works through the entire spectrum. That's why it was doing better.
Off. It's literally, we have like 30 seconds, so.
I'll shut up. You go ahead and summarize.
No, I'm just saying, we could go on and on with this. I would encourage people to look at Chris Martinson's information, and I did post it in the chat room. It is solid to go ahead and listen to him. I found the transcripts difficult to read. It's better to listen to it because transcripts are, you know, voice to text, some AI thing, and they weren't real accurate. So anyway, but thanks. I really appreciate both of you coming on. I think it is important to be discerning and ask the right questions. To me, that's a sign of intelligence. Whoever asks the right question is the most intelligent person in my book.
It's been a tremendous pleasure. Hopefully helpful.
Yeah, no, it's great, Chris. Steve. I've said that again. Steve O'Neill and Dave from New York, thank you so much for bringing this up so it's in people's minds.
Thanks for having us on. What's your name? Talk to you later.
Thank you, Steve O'Neill. It's okay. Don't worry.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.